Welcome, welcome. My name is Joanna Lindenbaum, and I am thrilled that you are here for the activation version of the Sacred Depths Coach Training. The six coach training modules I'll be sharing with you in this program are the quick, down, and dirty introductory modules to my larger and comprehensive Sacred Depths Coach Training. Even though these six trainings are just the beginning steps to the highest level of coaching mastery, you'll see that whether you are a new or a very, very seasoned coach and practitioner, that you are going to gain so much from the advanced skills that you learn here, and that you'll see up levels and results in your coaching and communicating interactions right away. For those of you who don't know me, let me give you a very brief background. I teach master-level facilitation and coaching skills to coaches, healers, speakers, and workshop leaders so that they can respond more powerfully to the issues their clients bring to them. I realized early on in my coaching career, which began 17 years ago, that my best marketing strategy wasn't actually a marketing strategy at all. Instead, it was to deliver the absolute highest quality service to my clients and to co-create with them the inner and outer results they truly desire. I noticed that my business growth stemmed mainly from delivering such effective and deep transformations and targeted results that my clients stayed with me for years, that I have a full referral machine from happy clients that speak my praises to anyone that comes their way, and that my reputation precedes me. And all of this is what happens for the clients that I train as well. My clients and students that I train in coaching and facilitation mastery gain a level of skill that the majority of their peers don't have. They become the best of the best at what they do as they step into this mastery level, and this in turn positively impacts their businesses as they get proven results that attract more clients and more opportunities. And all of this is why I am just so honored and excited to share with you my mastery level coaching skills to help you co-create with your clients not only incredible results, but also beautiful inner shifts and long-lasting growth and transformation that will have your clients see you as the go-to person in your industry. Whether you will use the skills and tools that you learn in this training for your coaching practice or your acupuncture practice or your real estate practice, whatever it is, you'll receive from this training the foundational skills to navigate pretty much anything that your clients toss your way, including their fears, their resistances, their self-sabotage mechanisms, their lack of clarity, their victimhood, their stalling mechanisms, their reasons why they can't, and their obstacles. And by the time that we're complete, not only will you have gained these advanced tools, skills, wisdom, and practices that will set you apart from most other coaches and healers and teachers out there, but you'll also understand client behavior in ways that you never thought possible. And that understanding will allow you to coach your clients with incredible success. You'll have the confidence to stand fully behind the marketing promises that you make because you'll believe in your ability to fulfill those promises. Your clients will feel incredibly connected to you and in gratitude for you. You'll see that clients stay with you longer than what is standard in the industry, and you will also very likely see that you receive more referrals and that your reputation grows more easily than others. And if that weren't enough, there's more. Because through this training, you'll come to know and understand yourself, your fears, your habits, your own patterns, your energy sourcing, your desires, your obstacles better than you have before. You'll notice your own personal growth and hopefully a lot of deep shifting. And then beyond that, everything that you learn in this training will make you a better team leader, a better partner, a better friend, a better parent. Because without even realizing, or maybe very consciously, you'll begin to use these tools, the tools that you learn here when you're communicating with the other people in your business and in your life. Because really, at its core, the best coaching skills are about being the most effective communicator that you can be. So here's what that also means. It also means that if you've been struggling with your sales calls or simply just wanting to improve those sales calls, that this training will actually 100% support you with that too. Because at the end of the day, the better that you are at holding space, at reflecting, at listening, at asking amazing questions, at knowing how to hold your prospects' hands through resistance, well, then the more successful your sales calls are going to be. So there is just so much here for us to look forward to delight in. There's so much here for you to sink your teeth into. I'm so excited to share this training with you, and I'm just so glad that you're here. Now, before we jump into today's curriculum, which is all about the energetics of the coaching relationship, I wanted to just share a couple of brief things for you to know for all of these trainings. So, first of all, along with the recorded modules that you'll be receiving, you'll also be receiving worksheets and resource sheets. Now, these worksheets and resource sheets are a really, really valuable support and companion to the recorded trainings, and I highly recommend working through the worksheets and the resource sheets. They will really help you take the work that we do together on these trainings even further. The other thing to know is that as you listen to these recorded trainings, that these trainings are actually taken from my more comprehensive 10-month Sacred Depths coach training. So what that means is that as you listen, there are going to be moments where you're going to hear shares and insights and questions from individuals that have been through the training. I think that this is really an added value for you. You'll get to just hear those insights and those questions and those shares, and they'll be really helpful. Now, if at any point you have any questions at all, I really want you to feel free to contact me. I would absolutely love to connect. I'm happy to answer your questions. And you can get in touch with me at info@joannalindenbaum.com, joannalindenbaum.com. Okay, so that's it for the logistics. Let's get going and take a look at our first module and coaching skill set, all about the energetics of being a coach. Is training, which is about the powerful energetics of being a coach. So before we dive into all of the skills that we're going to be taking a look at throughout the course of the full training, the listening, the questioning, the acknowledging, the visioning, the creating awareness, the fear, you know, all of that, before we dive into all of those skills, it's really important from the get-go, from the very beginning, to begin cultivating what I call the powerful energetics of being a coach. And over the course of our 10 months together, we're going to be weaving this thread throughout everything that we look at. We have two specific training calls about it. Today is the first one, but these pieces that we're going to begin to look at today, they're going to be woven throughout everything. So what are the powerful energetics of being a coach? Well, what I'm talking about here is literally the foundation of all of your coaching, mentoring, teaching, consulting, advising, and healing. The powerful energetics of being a coach are about you setting the stage to have the most transformative and successful client relationships possible. And the energetics are about you as the coach truly understanding that a strong relationship with your client is the basis of everything that you do together. Because if your relationship isn't strong, then it doesn't matter how amazing your questioning skills are or your strategizing skills are. If that relationship isn't super strong, everything else is going to fall flat. It's not going to be as effective. So I know that if you're here in this program, you're interested in supporting your clients to succeed at their goals, right? We know that for sure. But if you're here, you're probably also interested in not only helping them succeed at their goals, but in truly supporting your clients to grow and to transform. So here's what you need to know off the bat about this. Whatever your expertise is or is going to be, whether it's helping your clients become healthier or find romantic relationships or move forward in new careers or through transitions, whatever that expertise is, and no matter how smart and effective the nuts and bolts information that you have to share is, nuts and bolts information or how-to information can't ultimately on its own help people achieve their goals and transform themselves in their lives. So whatever the expertise is, if you have an expertise like relationships or health or, you know, marketing, whatever it is, all of that expertise is so useful and so wonderful and very important, but that's not what changes people. That's not what transforms people, at least not in the way that you think it does. What changes your clients is the relationship. We can call it the container, right, that you deliver your how-tos in. What changes people is your energy and your presence. Your energy as the coach and how you direct energy in coaching sessions is bar none. How you show up is at the heart of it all. It's what creates change for your clients. And then if you have that amazing content, like marketing content, relationship content, you know, hormone content, whatever it is, then all of that content will work to support all that's being shifted and transformed and healed through your presence. And energy follows energy. So when you aren't embodying the energetics of a transformational coach, your client literally feels it. It doesn't matter how well you know your expertise, there's something off. It's harder for your clients to really take in the information that you're sharing. It's harder for them to execute the strategy or the action steps. It's harder for them to trust you in themselves and the work you're doing together. It's harder for them to feel motivated and to stay motivated. It's harder for them to work through the inevitable obstacles that come up during any growth process or goal-reaching journey. Energy follows energy. If you come to the coaching relationship with confidence in yourself, your client will have confidence in you. Energy follows energy. If you come to the coaching relationship with confidence that your client can succeed, then she is going to have the confidence that she can succeed. If you come to the relationship with unconditional love and acceptance for your client's imperfections, then your clients will be more able to have more love and acceptance of their own imperfections. If you come to the relationship not freaking out when there are obstacles, but instead trusting that obstacles can be worked through, then guess what? Your client will be more patient when her obstacles show up, and she'll be able to trust that she can get through those obstacles with your support. So for any of you that are around little children a lot, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? If a child falls and you, as the adult that's holding the container, freaks out, the child is going to freak out. If the child falls and you're calm and you have confidence that everything is going to be okay, that child has a much better chance of also being confident that everything is going to be okay. So this is why we're looking together at energetics first and how to create a powerful coaching relationship first before we go to any of the other coaching skills or tools. We don't want to overlook this piece, because if you don't get the energetics, then none of the rest of it really matters. We need this foundation first before we can add anything else onto it. This foundation is vital because it allows you honestly to look at and course correct any misaligned inner dynamics that you, as the coach, might have. It allows you to course correct any fears or perspectives or limiting beliefs that are going on for you, even before you get to specific client interactions. Working on those inner dynamics for yourself as the coach helps you to be more clean in your coaching, more grounded, and much more in your zone of genius and leadership with your clients. Now, when you can put the powerful energetics of being a coach in place, you're going to discover that your relationships with your clients will start to contain what I believe are the 7 most important dynamics that you need for a successful client relationship and for successfully supporting clients to achieve results. So I want to share with you these 7 dynamics right now. These are the 7 most important dynamics for a successful client relationship and successful client results. And write these down. Number 1, trust, mutual trust, right? So it's not just about your client trusting you, but when you've got a powerful relationship going on with your client, your client trusts you, and you trust that client. That's when real growth can happen, when there's mutual trust. Next important dynamic, mutual respect. Right? For any real growth and transformation results to be attained, for any of that to happen, there also needs to be mutual respect. You respect your client, and your client respects you. When that can happen, again, there can be more vulnerability. There can be more risk-taking with actions. There can be more willingness to go deeper, to look at things. The 3rd dynamic is partnership, real partnership, working together, right? So the most effective and powerful coaching relationships are not the ones where the coach does all the work. They're not the ones where the coach comes up with all of the ideas. The most successful coaching relationships are when it's a true partnership between the two. And again, all of these dynamics that I'm naming, these go for any relationship, actually, if you think about it in your life, right? We need these things for any effective and powerful and strong relationship. Okay, the next dynamic is that the relationship have room for real creativity. So what I mean by this one is that what I've found is the most powerful relationships and the most successful, like your clients are going to be the most successful when you as the coach don't come to the sessions with canned answers, with knowing it all beforehand. If you can create space for creativity, for new ideas to emerge through that partnership we were just talking about, right, that's when things can be really successful. Number five, next dynamic that's needed for a successful relationship, clear and honest communication, right? So oftentimes, and we're going to look a lot at this, oftentimes, as coaches, we're not communicating as honestly as we could be with our clients, right? Maybe because we're scared that they'll get angry or offended, or maybe because we're not sure of ourselves, right? And so we don't communicate clearly and honestly. We want to really work. This is one of the most important, like, foundation of energetics of the relationship is that clear and honest communication. Number six, belief in your client's highest vision and belief in the highest for the client. So, again, we're going to take a look more at this, but what can sometimes happen is that if we don't trust, right, going back to that trust piece, if we don't trust our clients, then we don't believe in their highest visions for themselves. And if we don't believe in their highest visions for themselves, it's really hard to coach them to those visions. So it's so important for you as the coach to believe deeply, deeply, deeply in your clients. And then finally, the next dynamic that's so important for a successful client relationship is healthy boundaries. We're going to be looking at that one a lot today and throughout the program. Sometimes as coaches, we want to serve so deeply that our boundaries get a little blurry, we overgive, you know, we'll give too much, we'll, you know, we won't have those boundaries that are important. And when that happens, the relationship really starts to break down. Okay, so now that we've defined what the powerful energetics of being a coach are and what a powerful coaching relationship that yields results is, then the next question is, well, how do you actually create or achieve that? So there are a few tools that you need to have in place, and I want to start to take a look at those tools today. We'll get through a couple of them today. And here's what I want to say before we look at the tools. Probably everything that I'm going to share with you on today's call is in so many ways so obvious, right? If you're a human being who's interested in helping others and who is self-aware and who knows a little bit about human behavior, and these are all basically defining factors of coaches or people who want to be coaches, right? So if you've got these qualities, then so much of what I'm sharing today, as soon as I share it, you're probably going to say, well, duh, of course. But even though it's obvious as soon as you hear it from me today, the things that I'm going to be sharing with you today are things that most coaches actually don't automatically think about or put into place on their own without being taught. It's like we know it, it's innate, it's so obvious, but we don't actually do it until we become conscious of it. So I'm going to go through these tools today a little bit quickly. We could literally spend at least one entire session on each of the tools that I'm going to be sharing with you today. But here's how we're going to work them. I'm going to lay them out for you today so that you can start thinking and working on them. And the worksheet that you'll have this week will help you also go deeper with them. And then you're going to see that we're going to consistently come back to these tools as we move through our coaching skills and the other modules. These tools are going to be at the heart of so much that we learn. All right, so here we go. Number one, one of the first things you want to do in order to create that powerful relationship that we've been talking about is you want to equalize the playing field. I want you to write that down. Equalize the playing field. So an equal playing field in the coaching relationship means that you as the coach are approaching the relationship as if you and your client are two equal partners. You see the both of you, both you and your client, you see the both of you as wise, as able, as mutually worthy of respect. Now, of course, you and your client both have different roles in the relationship. You have certain info or expertise that they want and need, but that being said, there is no person in this relationship that is better. I'm using air quotes there, right? That is better than the other. There is no person in this relationship that's more powerful than the other. There's no person in this relationship that has a higher status than the other. Again, I know it's obvious, but we oftentimes don't approach the relationships this way. When you have an equal playing field, that's when the trust that I was talking about earlier begins to get created. That's part and parcel of where the mutual respect that's key to powerful coaching relationships get started. When there's an equal playing field, then you've created an environment for true partnership to happen, for open communication to happen. So it sounds like a no-brainer, right? Like, of course. But the truth is that many coaches aren't actually approaching their client relationships with an equal playing field, even if they think... Even if they think that they are. So if you're not conscious and aware of this equal playing field, if you don't actively work at it, then it's pretty easy to fall into the trap of not totally owning your expertise or not seeing yourself, the coach, as smart enough or intuitive enough or anything enough. And then when this happens, then you also start seeing your client as better than you or too powerful or too overpowering. You get intimidated maybe by your client, or you're scared that he's going to judge you or get angry by something you say or suggest. It's almost as if you forget your client is another human being and you start seeing them as like a cold, distanced robot who you have to be careful around. And then maybe you back away a little bit from speaking the truths as you see them about a client's patterning, or you hold back on an idea that you have for them, or most importantly, you simply don't bring all of yourself forward with love to really create a warm and intimate and trusting relationship. So that's one way of not having an equal playing field when you, as the coach, come to the relationship as less than your client. The other way of not having an equal playing field is when you come to the relationship somewhere inside of you believing that your client isn't as good as you. Maybe there's a little assumption inside of you that your client isn't really enough in some way, not enough to follow through on their commitments or to really show up to achieve their goals. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that your clients don't have challenges and crosses to bear. Of course they do, but I want to point out that that's very different than believing that the client isn't good enough or can't. In either scenario, you approaching with yourself as less than, or approaching assuming that your client is less than, either way, you're setting yourself up for having a very hard time helping in the ways that you want to help, because you're energetically creating a relationship that's about fear or shame or miscommunication instead of alignment and openness and an equal meeting of the minds. So here are some clues that the playing field you've created isn't equalized. Number one, if you feel nervous, like overly nervous, you know, always, especially in the beginning, you're going to feel kind of nervous, but if you feel overly nervous or inadequate before, during, or after a client interaction, chances are you're not coming to this with an equal playing field. If you're not being totally honest in your communications with your client, if you're not calling them out on things or not making certain suggestions to them, probably you're not approaching this with an equal playing field. If you focus a lot more on your own needs, your own concerns, your own fears in your interactions with your clients instead of them, right? So what that looks like is in your head while you're interacting with clients, you're thinking, am I going to be good enough? Will she be happy with the work we do together? What if she doesn't like you, right? If you're making it about you and not about your client, chances are there isn't an equal playing field there. If you feel drained by the relationship, there's a good chance that it's not an equal playing field. If you notice that you're pretty consistently concerned that your client isn't going to succeed, that this coaching isn't going to work, that it's going to be a failure for him or her, then chances are you're not approaching the relationship as an equal playing field. So, and here's one really important one that I want to emphasize. If you're doing way more than you need to, right? If you're taking a lot of over-responsibility, then chances are you're probably showing up from either a less-than place or that your clients are in a less-than place. We tend to think that if we're taking over-responsibility, we're doing a great service, but we're actually doing a disservice to ourselves and to our clients. Okay, so how do you equalize the playing field? Well, there are a lot of ways, but one of the ways I want to take a look at right now is to really step into the following belief, and I want you to write this down. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. So there's no need to fix your clients in any way. This is an important energetic piece here. Oftentimes as coaches, we can come to the relationship feeling like we need to fix. There is no need. If you believe that your clients are whole and complete as they are, you don't need to do any fixing. Yes, you may have suggestions and tools for them, but first things first, it's your job to give unconditional love, respect, acceptance, and a sense of how valuable your client is. So let's take a closer look at this for a moment. And if you've got current clients, if you're working with clients, I want you to think about your current client relationships. And if you're not working with clients yet, you can just really look at any of your current relationships with a friend, a family member, a colleague. So take a look at your client relationships and ask yourself this question. Where are the places in the relationship that you are making the client less than? Where are you making the client less than? What are the judgments or assumptions that you're making about your clients? I want you to get as specific as possible here. So take a moment and write down, what are the judgments or the assumptions that you're making about your clients? How are you approaching them as less than, or the people in your life if you don't have a client to work on? Where have you been feeling like they are less than whole or less than complete? Just be really honest here. So, of course, it doesn't mean that your clients don't have challenges. Of course they do, and that's why they've hired you. But there's a difference between a client having a challenge or a learning curve and then a client being detrimentally flawed or not good enough, right? So an example here of maybe an assumption or a judgment is, he'll never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days. Or she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take actions towards her success, right? So I'll give you another moment with this. Where are you making judgments and assumptions that your clients are less than whole and complete? Now, I just want to let you know, if you're starting to feel a little like, oh, I can't believe I've been doing that, I just want to normalize this for you. I have certainly done this before. Nearly everyone does. This is why I'm pointing it out, right? So let's take this a step further. As you take a look at the judgments, the assumptions that you're making, that make your clients less than whole and complete, or family members, you know, whoever you're focusing on here in this exercise, how is this impacting the relationship? How is that assumption or that judgment or belief impacting the relationship? Take a moment and consider that and just jot that down for yourself. How is it impacting the relationship? What are you seeing there? Okay, great. So then the next step here, now that you've gotten clear on your assumptions, you've seen how they're impacting you, the next step is to reframe those assumptions. And this is a piece I'll give you for homework, but I'll give you some examples here. So, for example, in the one I gave you before, you know, Jack will never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days. A reframe there is, it's challenging for Jack to stick to a food plan, but he's asked for my support for a reason and with intention, and I really sense that with encouragement and accountability and food planning, he'll be able to do it. Right? It's so obvious, right? So subtle, but do you guys see the shift there? The shift from the believing that he's not going to be able to do it to honoring that it's a challenge for him, but believing that he can do it. Right? Or for that other example I gave, Rita's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take actions towards her success. The reframe there might be, Rita may have the tendency to fall into her victimized self, but she's incredibly smart and so self-aware, and I know that she wants to change her habits, right? If you can approach the relationship from that perspective, then so much more is going to happen there. You're going to be able to create those 7 dynamics that I spoke about earlier. Okay, so my clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. The next important piece here is, and I want you to write this down, I am whole and complete exactly as I am. I am whole and complete exactly as I am. Right? We need to believe that too. We really, you know, believing that going into the coaching session, that you as the coach are whole and complete, is so important to create this equal playing field. Because when you don't believe that you're whole and complete, that's when you show up as less than. That's when you worry that you're not smart enough or not skilled enough or not intuitive enough or not able enough. So again, let's take a look at this for a moment. Think about your current client relationships, or if you don't have current clients, again, just any relationships that you have, friends, family member, colleagues. Where are the places in the client relationships or in these other relationships that you are making yourself less than the client? Where are you making yourself less than? What are the specific judgments that you're making about yourself? Get as specific as you can. You write down some of those specific judgments that you're making about yourself that are making you less than. And how are these assumptions impacting the relationship? When you show up as less than, when you have these perspectives, consciously or not, now we've hopefully made some of them more conscious, how does this impact the relationship? So again, I want to also normalize this. I've certainly done this before as well, showed up not feeling whole and complete, right? So if you're taking a look at this right now and going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been doing this, it's okay. It's so completely normal, and now that you're more conscious and aware of it, it's going to start to shift. So there are a couple of other things I want to say about equalizing the playing field before we continue. The first is, in order to have an equal playing field, you need to really embrace and accept that you aren't perfect and neither is your client. We're going to get later in this program, we're going to go deep into the myth of perfection, but for now, I'll just say this. If there's any part of you that's showing up feeling like you need to be perfect or your client needs to be perfect, then that is fodder for, of course, you letting yourself down or your client letting yourself down and then falling into beliefs that someone isn't whole and complete, right? So you're not perfect, neither is your client. Next thing is, don't feel like you need to have all the answers. An equal playing field and a good coaching relationship is not about the coach being the know-it-all and needing to have all of the solutions. The more that you can come knowing that sometimes you're going to have the solutions and sometimes you're not, then the more equal that playing field is going to be. Don't feel like you need to be anything but yourself in the relationship. Don't try to be anyone else but you. And then finally, for an equal playing field, you want to really know and embrace that you as the coach are not solely responsible for your client's growth and results. You as the coach are not solely responsible for your client's growth or results. This is a partnership. the more that you can approach it as a partnership, the more equal the playing field is going to be. Okay, so let's pause here for a moment because I know I just shared a lot. We still have a bit to go, but I'd love to hear maybe from one or two of you what you're really hearing and seeing, what you're really getting from this look at equalizing the playing field. Star two, what's becoming clear for you? What are you seeing for yourself? Why is this important? Renee.
Hi, Joanna. I'm so thrilled to be here. What's really showing up for me is this seeing how cyclical this is. So, like, just thinking about some of my real estate investor owner clients, and I've been doing so much for them outside of what it is that I'm really supposed to do, like an apartment's going to be, and like, And it's really draining me. And like this assumption, a lot of them live overseas, right? Like they're incomplete somehow, like that they can't like do it for themselves or hire somebody else. And it's like wrapped up in this like fear of like not being enough for them, like not adding enough value. So I'm taking on more than I should instead of just saying like, hey, this is the line where my part ends and we need to hire somebody else and you have to hire that person and pay that person to oversee this. It's like that fear of telling, of just being truthful and saying like, you need to do this, right? Instead, I take it on and then like I resent that I'm not getting paid for it and it's draining my energy from other things and it like kind of cycles itself.
Yeah, I'm so glad you can see that, right? It's like as soon as you see it, it's like, oh my gosh, right? So I'm glad you see that over responsibility is coming from that, you know, not approaching it as an equal playing field. Beautiful. Good. Really well done. I'll take another share. I think this is Leah.
Hey, Leah, this is me.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? So what's really apparent for me, so I did a reflection around a past strained work relationship that I had that was in kind of like a mentor-mentee dynamic, and I was a mentee, and it was in a program where I was really eager to be part of this company, and not only did I have this dynamic in myself, but it was kind of cultivated in the company where we really all were trying to prove ourselves that we were smart enough to be there and that we were smart enough to do the work. And, you know, it's a pretty wise company in the sense that we talked a lot about, like the love versus fear dynamic. But it took me, you know, 5 months of therapy to realize that I was coming from a place of fear and woundedness and, like, how that directly affected me from a stress, from a anxiety, from a, like, you know, the feeling when you feel like your veins are, like, raw and exposed because you're so anxious. Yeah. And so that's where I was, and it was kind of obviously eating me alive. I was crying all the time. And I realized, it took a long time for me to realize that my fear and my doubt in myself and my questioning and needing to prove myself was creating this pretty horrible dynamic and kind of bringing these same things out of the person I was, you know, in this relationship with. So now, you know, obviously hindsight is massively 2020, and I've been doing a lot of work around recognizing how this plays in my life. But it's really interesting and clear to hear, you know, that this idea that we don't need, of course we've heard it before, that we don't need to be fixed, that we're great as we are. But to embody it, I think it feels very different. And, you know, the world obviously does not tell us this is the truth. So.
Yeah, so beautifully said. It's like we know it, right? Like I was saying earlier, we know it, but embodying it is a whole other thing. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take one more. Christine.
Hi, Joanna. This is so awesome. Thank you so, so much. What really resonated with me the most is before you even got to the playing field part, you talked about what changes people is your energy and not your expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I realized that I have been really focusing on the expertise because I have several degrees and certifications and all the things, and I felt like I had to create the change in the people because of that, because, you know, they, you know, my clients come to me because they know of the expertise part. So if the change didn't occur, then it would make me look bad and, you know, just all of the things. So this is super liberating, and I just want to thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm so glad that you can see that. Beautiful. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and actually take another share or two. These are such great things that are coming forward. I think so helpful for everyone. So I don't know who this is, but I just took off mute. 1247 are your last numbers. Hello? 1247, I just took you off? Okay, I'll try someone else. This is someone from Minnesota whose name is also not coming up. 4700, I took you off mute.
Hi, Joanna, it's Ty.
Hi, Ty.
How are you?
Good.
This has been amazingly insightful, so thank you for sharing your brilliance, you know, through this training call so far. One of the things that stood out to me was that there are some clients that I've worked with where I do have a little bit of that intimidation factor going on, and what I noticed is that I will sometimes speak with an apologetic tone mm-hmm. instead of from a place of confident knowing. And so, you know, that's a bit of a disservice to them because, you know, that energy shift in, you know, focusing or speaking with an apologetic tone, I think can create more dis-ease with them, even if they don't know it consciously.
Yes.
And so then it starts to erode the credibility, which starts to erode the trust, and then it makes the relationship, and not the relationship, but the results from that relationship really inconsistent. And so just being more aware of that, you know, and it's not necessarily that I want to speak with like this authority, like you were saying that I'm higher and they're lesser, but just for myself speaking from a place of confident knowing and being able to trust my intuition is going to be very helpful in these relationships.
Yeah, beautiful. And I really want to, you know, underscore what you're saying here. There's a difference between being apologetic and being kind.
Mm.
And sometimes we default into being apologetic when we're saying something that really needs to be said. And like you shared, that erodes credibility. But there is a way, when we get to the module on creating awareness, we're going to go really deep into this, there is a way to share what needs to be said with kindness, but without apology. And that's what's actually most powerful for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad you're bringing this point forward. Thank you. Okay, we've covered a lot today, and if you'd like to go further in exploring the energetics of the coaching relationship, then the very next thing to do is to take the coaching archetype assessment. So in this really comprehensive assessment, you will find out what your top two coaching archetypes are, and then how those archetypes dictate a variety of factors in your coaching practice, from how you show up energetically for your clients, to what your coaching assets are, to your specific coaching limitations and how to tackle them. This assessment is deep. It's not a surface pop quiz at all. It really goes layers and layers to reveal to you parts of your true nature. It's really an important tool and resource to help you improve your performance with your one-on-one clients, your private clients, as well as with any groups that you lead, online groups that you lead, workshops you lead, retreats that you lead. Now, you can find the coaching archetype assessment at joannalindenbaum.com/bb-assessment. Again, that's joannalindenbaum.com/bb-assessment. The other things that you want to think about doing are just, first of all, just write down your takeaways from today's call. I always find that writing down top 2, 3, 4 takeaways after I've been trained really helps cement them in. So think about that. Write those down. You've got some worksheets for this module that I hope that you enjoy. And I will see you on our next class, our next recording, which is all about masterful listening skills. See you then. Have a wonderful rest of your day.